Amen. Hymn number 89.
Number 89, away in a manger, no crib for a bed. Number 89. Second verse, the cattle are lowing. All right, Sunday school kids, let's sing it out. All right, let's sing together.
The cattle.
This morning, we're going to share a little video with you about the history of the candy cane. Everybody's going to get a candy cane when you go home from junior church this morning. But we want you to know the symbolic reasoning behind the candy maker that made the candy cane. It's all about Jesus Christ and His birth. You may be seated. We'll show you the video at this time.
This is a little story about the candy cane. The cane resembles a shepherd's staff. Christ is also known as the Good Shepherd. The J shape of the candy stands for Jesus. He came to die for our sins. The white color reflects the purity of Jesus. The red represents the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to redeem mankind. The thin red stripes remind us of the scourging He endured at the hands of evil men. The refreshing peppermint flavor points to the cleansing and purification He offers to those who trust in Him. And the candy's hardness reminds us that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And I've got for Thursday, December the 25th, okay, Thursday, December the 25th, I have two birthdays. Casey Fett is having a birthday, and Gord Spawn. Now, Casey's turning 18, so that's a milestone for sure. So that's Thursday, December 25th. And I've just got a question to ask you guys. What's it like to have your birthday on a Thursday? Isn't that amazing? That's incredible. I have a birthday on a Thursday, December the 25th. All right. Anniversaries, I got Melvin and Pat Nellis are having an anniversary on Tuesday. So again, be sure to congratulate these folks this morning and this week. As far as prayers go, be sure also to be praying for folks as they're traveling, because there's been reports of the weather's going to be up and down, especially around the Christmas day. So let's be in prayer for folks like that. At this time, what do we have? I've got an offering written down here. So when we have the gentleman come forward, we're taking an offering in just a minute. Yes, Pastor. Very good. Yes. Congratulate also Rob and Deb Turnowski on becoming grandparents for the second time, because their son and daughter-in-law, Joel and Jessica, had another baby boy. And I believe his name is Logan. And if you want more details, just check out Facebook, because it's all over Facebook, okay? And it's that's another exciting thing for the season. Yes, Pastor? Okay, so Jessica, we'll keep her in prayers. We'll have one of the men, as we have the offering this morning, to pray for Jessica as she's recovering from that. She's having some complications from that. So we I'll have Brother Gerald, if you'd pray for this morning's offering.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time of year as we gather and see the children here this morning. I think maybe a program this morning that you'll just accept in. Of our academy program tonight, all because of people giving here in this church, giving back to you just a portion of what you have blessed them and can give to them. In your name we pray.
Amen. God bless you now as you give.
Daniel Smith at the piano this morning. We're going to just take a little break from our program, Brother Judge, and I'm going to ask our college students to come and share a couple testimonies at this time. We're glad that they're home, and I hope that you'll come join us. And I want you to encourage, as you come, encourage our young people. You know, young people, these college students, they're just a few years older than you, just 5 and 6 years older than you are, and I want them to share how they can give their lives to serve the Lord. We have some to go to Bible college, we have some to go to other universities, but no matter where we are, we have to give our lives to serving Jesus and do our very best to be pleasing to Him in all that we do. So I'm going to have those young people come at this time. Come on up. Paul, your fourth year senior boy, you ought to be running up here. Amen. Leah, Brad, is Ty here this morning? Did he get back safely? He's coming back tomorrow. All right, praise the Lord. Pray for Ty driving from Ottawa tomorrow. There's Daniel. All right, Brad, I don't see Austin Judge, but we probably won't. He probably went out to the car and started it and drove out. All right. All right.
Well, I'm in my fourth year currently at West Coast Baptist College in California, and it's been a good semester. I learned a lot from it, and I finished up in May, and just probably the highlight of my semester was being able to work in a bus class for bus kids there, and it was fourth or sixth grades, and at the start of it, it was probably the most hectic thing I've ever done. And those kids were probably some like the worst behaved kids that I've ever worked with, but after finally, you know, starting to work with them for a few weeks, I started to get a hang of the class. And I think by the end of it, we were able to see over 10 kids saved. So it was definitely a good experience. And just college has been a great time of learning and just getting to really decide what you believe yourself. When you're here with your parents, you're tempted to just kind of latch on to their beliefs. But when you go to college and start to go out in the real world yourself, you realize that you have to make your own beliefs and find out from the Bible what you really believe about life and about different matters. And this is what college has really helped me with. So for those of you who are thinking about college and which one to go to, I really encourage you to pray about it, to talk to pastor about it, your parents as well. And it's really, really important time. And just want to thank you all for your prayers and your support as well. It's really helped me out. And thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Daniel Smith. I was the guy that was just on the piano. Right now, I'm currently in my senior year at Queen's University, and I'm attending Bible Baptist Church in Kingston, Ontario, and Randy Mumper's the pastor there. I guess the one thing that I have to say is that for some people, it might seem a little bit difficult for people to go off to a secular school, but you can still serve God there. Right now, I currently am the organist at the church there. It's a very good church, a very Bible-based. I do the organ in the morning service. I alternate the organ and the piano at the night service. For the Wednesday night services, I play the piano. I volunteer at the children's church. So it's a bit of a time commitment, but there's still time there, even with the studies. The pastor is very good to the people there. It's a small church, but the heart's there, and it's really not the size that matters, as long as the Spirit of the Lord's in there. I'll currently be, after my studies, I'll be pursuing my studies at law at the University of Toronto, which I guess for some people is a bit of a step down, but regardless, I'll hopefully be able to use my piano skills and other things at church there. But I'll be looking around there, and hopefully I'll be able to serve God in what I do. So even if you don't go off to a seminary, you can still serve God, and no matter what field you study in or if you go off to a secular university. I don't think I've been totally corrupted yet, so there's still hope for some of you out there. So thank you for your prayers.
Hi, I'm Leah Vogel, and I was in my sophomore year this year and at West Coast Baptist College down in California. And at the beginning of the year, I actually changed my major to missions, and I'm just following what the Lord really wants for my life, Lord, and I just prayed a lot about it, and I just knew this is what He wanted for me to do. So I'm going to be there for two more years still, Lord, two more years, and even though I was supposed to graduate in May, I'm going to be there. And just this semester was just really great for me, and it was just a really great blessing to be able to go back to such a great college and just learn more about the Lord and through all my classes. And this year the classes were kind of a struggle, but the Lord just got me through them and I passed basically everyone, so it was really great. And just pray for us as we're going back down at the end of January, and just help us have a faithful testimony and witness down there. Even though it is a big college, there are still people that we get to reach out in the community and door knocking every week and for us to be able to see somebody saved. And thank you for praying.
Well, this last semester, I just really got to see the faithfulness of God at work throughout so many different facets of my college career there. As I was working, and thankfully I was able to pay off my bill, and now I'm graduated and debt-free. And I've also just been able to see God just provide for me as I've had several very hard tests that lead up to our graduation process. which led to several times of lack of sleep, which was a lot of fun. And just God's also general safety, as I've been able to travel this last year back and forth to Fontana, which is a town an hour and a half away from the college, and we didn't have any accidents this year. Last year, another one of the teams did have an accident, and it's just good to know that God's protected myself and the rest of the college bodies. We've had no serious injuries to these couple accidents that have happened last year. And it's just good to see God providing for me for the last 3.5 years, and now I'm graduated, and you're stuck with me.
Amen. All right, there was a couple shy ones. Casey? No? Okay, she's being shy. And maybe Austin, but maybe we'll hear from them in the next week or two. We are thankful for all our students. Be in prayer. Brad is trying to figure out, he wants to take his master's degree, and he has an opportunity to go to live at the Sea of Galilee for 9 months and take his master's degree. What a wonderful opportunity. So pray about him. There's a lot of unrest over there, and he's nervous about that. And in the meantime, he's going to come and serve at the church one day a week, and he wants to keep his skills sharp and use them for the Lord. And so be in prayer for all of our students as they make life decisions. Well, young people, we want to tell you the Christmas story today, and we don't want to just tell you a story. We want you to know that we believe it is absolute fact. We're just going to read to you from the Word of God today, and while the Bible is read, you'll also see some of the pictures of Mary and Joseph on the screen, all right?
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another,
Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying,
Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.
And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said,
Go, and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.
When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down, and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
and I've got just a brief message I want to give to you today. It's a gospel message, and it has to do with Christmas, and I call it the Christmas trade. Now, I don't know if you boys and girls know what trading is. Do you know what trading is? It's anybody had you know what trading? What's trading? Is it? I'm going to tell you what I think it is. You just go like this if it is, okay? It's where you exchange something with another person. Is that what it is? That's right. That's right. That's what trading is. And usually what you do is you trade something you don't like for something that's better, don't you? That's trading. Now, I'll tell you, we're going to get into the Christmas trade in a minute, but I'll give you a good example of trading. And that would be Pastor McDonald and my wife, Mrs. McDonald. We trade in chocolate. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a difference in chocolate. Not all chocolate's the same, all right? Some chocolate's dark chocolate, and that's what my wife likes. Mrs. McDonald, oh, she loves dark chocolate. Some chocolate is milk chocolate. Ah, that's what I like. I like the milk chocolate. Now, you too? Okay. All right. I got someone here now. Okay. Someone on my side. Because normally, I just buy myself chocolate, and I'm okay with it, because I would just buy, what chocolate would I buy? Dark or milk?
Milk.
Okay, I would buy a milk chocolate. And my wife, normally she goes out and buys her own chocolate, and she would buy what kind of chocolate? Dark chocolate. Okay. Now, there's a difference. Now, dark chocolate, again, is dark. Milk chocolate is what?
Milk.
It's milky or creamy, okay, which you get with milk. All right. So, that's why the difference. Now, so, everything's okay, right? I got mine. She's got hers. Everything's fine. But every once in a while, here's what happens. Something happens and messes us up. Somebody gives us a gift, and it's a box of chocolates, all right? Now, boxes of chocolates can be mixed. You can have a mixture, all right? Some people have this mixture, and every once in a while, Pastor McDonald, I'll just reach into this box, and I'll pull out a chocolate, and it's a dark chocolate. I don't like dark chocolate. But I'm standing there looking at my dark chocolate, and every once in a while, Mrs. McDonald will reach in, and she pulls out milk chocolate. And she doesn't like milk chocolate. So she's standing there looking at milk chocolate. I'm over here looking. Looks like we had too much chocolate, doesn't it? Looking at this dark chocolate. So here's what we do. Okay, it's smart. Okay? Here, now don't miss this, boys and girls. Don't miss this. This is a doozy. Okay? Don't miss this. We trade. All right, you're way ahead of me there. We trade. I say, Mrs. McDonald, you want to trade? And she goes, oh, yes, I want to trade. And so we just switch over, and we trade, and I get my milk chocolate, she gets her dark chocolate, and everybody's happy. Well, let me tell you something. There's something more important of a trade, and we find it in the Bible, and it does have a link with the Christmas story. Now, listen to this. I'm going to read one verse for you, and it's going to tell you about this. It says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God did a trade for us. No, it wasn't chocolate. This was much more important than that. God traded us, his son. What's his name? Jesus. He traded us, his son, for our sin. That is a trade. That's the Christmas trade. That's what the word Emmanuel means. God with us. He became the Son of Man so that we can be the sons of God. What a trade. What a trade when I look at that. So when I see that, I read that, and I understand that little baby didn't stay a little baby. Jesus didn't stay a little baby. That's when he was born at Christmas time. But he grew up, didn't he, to be a man. And one day, he died on a cruel wooden cross for our sins. All right? So here's what God did. He traded us his son, who he died, for our sins. Put all the sins, all the bad things we've ever done, past, present, future, all of our sins, everyone's sins. And they put them on his son, and he took them, and he died, and he paid the price for us. And that was part of the trade. But here's how a trade works. Okay, now understand this. Okay, who wants to trade with me? I got a pen. Who wants to trade? Who's got something to trade? What do you got to trade with me? You got something to trade? What do you got in there? Anything good? How about just give me your Bible, okay? We're going to show you. Okay, now, you're going to give me your Bible. Okay, I got a Bible, all right? Thank you. All right. Good night, everybody. Wait, hey, right, you're right. That's not a trade, right? All right? But that's what we do with Jesus sometimes. Jesus came to this world. It's God's trade. Okay, Emmanuel, God with us. And he died. Okay, so we gave him something. We gave him all our sins, Okay? This will represent sin right now, just representing. So, but he doesn't just run off. He offers us something in return, and that's eternal life. So he took our sins. He gives us eternal life. You see how trades work, right? You don't just run off like that. So, but what do you have to do before this becomes yours? Okay, well, watch this. Here it is. Okay, that didn't do you any good, did it? What do you got to do? Ah, I got it now. You got to take it. Okay, I'll give this back to you because I'm a nice guy. All right, you have to take it. You have to take it. That's the great Christmas trade. Emmanuel, God with us. All right, it's a trade. So Jesus said, I will take all your sins upon me. All of them. I'm holy, I'm perfect, but I'll take them all because I love you so much. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He did a trade. I'll take all that, and in return I'll give you eternal life, but you have to take it. How many people would like to take that eternal life and give God your sin? He's already taken your sin, by the way. Put your hands down. What I'm going to do, I'm going to pray in just a minute, but I'm not going to pray and ask. You put your hands up if you'd like to do that. But we're going to pray in a minute, and then we're going to dismiss you shortly. We're going to have some other things go on, and eventually going to be, if you have more questions in more detail about this Christmas trade, I want you to talk to your junior church workers, because this is so important, boys and girls. Okay? Jesus has already done one part. He's taken the sin. Now he's offering you eternal life, but you have to take it. All right, so you talk right afterwards to your junior church worker, because I want to make sure that all of you take advantage of this awesome trade that God's offering to do for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for what we've been able to experience so far with the music, the testimonies. We thank you for our college students coming back, Lord, and for giving them safety, and for the other ones that are yet to come, Lord. We thank you so much for the boys and girls listening so carefully to this, the great Christmas story and the great Christmas trade, as we were putting it this way. Father, bless the rest of this service, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sitting nice and really straight. I need a helper to help carry my candy canes back. We got candy canes that match our story that you guys saw. I think I'm going to pick Kayla. You can pick my top one. You carry that for me. We got one more girl. One more girl sitting. I think Manny. Annie. Sorry. I said it backwards. Annie. You carry these to junior church. And I'm looking for two boys. No, I don't pick armpits. You know that. Sit up nice and straight. Sit nice and straight. Someone I didn't hear talking. I think I didn't hear John. There you go. And my wife, I'll give you that, and you can give it to a boy that you saw. Okay? Everyone else, you guys can stand up, and you're going to follow me. We have a Christmas party that we're going to go to, all right? So you guys can come with me, all right?
All right, let's stand and take our hymn books this morning. Number 95, Joy to the World. Number 95, let's stand and sing as the children are dismissed. Number 95. Finishing our series, A Journey to Bethlehem, and this morning's title is Thou Shalt Call His Name Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. Be in prayer. Our young people are gone to the back, and Brother Jim Wilson's going to reinforce the salvation message when they get there and give an invitation this morning. And they're going to have some games and things after, but the most important part, of course, is the gospel message, and we pray for our young people to accept Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Years ago, we had a little plastic acrylic pulpit that we would use for special things that we needed to move quickly. And by moving it so many times, it cracked and broke. And so God has blessed us and given us a new pulpit that we can use for special occasions. It moves very easy. It's very light. It doesn't look like it, but it's very light. And I mention that because I really like it. I really enjoy it. It's a nice pulpit. Pastor McDonald's used it twice, and this is the first time I've got to use it. But I just say that because a fellow by the name of Dan Berenger was our carpenter. He did all the woodwork you see down here in the front and the altars and the stairs and all the trim work and the doors. That's all Dan's work. If you need a good carpenter, I highly recommend him. And I thank him for the good job he did on building us a nice pulpit that we can use this Christmas Sunday. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 18, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Father, we are thankful today that we can take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be called Christians. What a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we spend some time in the Word this morning, that you'd encourage our hearts. Prepare us, Lord, to properly worship you this Christmas season. Father, we pray for the young people. I pray for Brother Wilson now, even now, as he's presenting the gospel and reiterating the message that Pastor McDonald gave us this morning. We pray, Lord, as they come to their invitation time, Lord, that precious, never-dying souls would come to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd help us in this room as well. If there's somebody here that has not yet met Jesus as their Lord and Savior and received him, we pray, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. And Father, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The name Jesus is perhaps the most blessed and yet controversial name in all of history. Last night, my son Austin had earned some Maple Leafs tickets, the Toronto Maple Leafs, for part of a fundraiser we had at the school. So we went down to Toronto. We got into that crowd, 21,403 people. And I was encouraged when we stand to sing O Canada that everybody sang, God keep our land glorious and free. You know, the atheist crowd would have you believe that everybody hates that we shouldn't sing those things in public and we shouldn't mention the name of Christ. But nobody turned in their tickets and walked out. They did after the game, after they saw the way they played. But nobody was willing to part with their tickets and walk out of the ice. Nobody threw themselves on the ice in protest. Nobody got angry. As a matter of fact, the people that were all around me by the end of the game, were some of them were quite inebriated and had too much to drink, and yet they proudly stood up and said, God keep our land. It didn't offend them as much as you would think the atheists would like to think it offends people. The name of Jesus does seem to be controversial in our world, doesn't it? People get so angry, it's so divisive, and they're saying now that I noticed at Wichita, Kansas, when I was in Bible college, there was a fellow there that was asked to pray in front of the opening of their Senate or whatever they had going on in their government, and they said, you can pray, and we want you to open our time in prayer, but do not pray in the name of Jesus. So you can imagine what his prayer was. He prayed for forgiveness for our land, for denying the name of Christ, and the entire prayer was just full of the name of Christ. Listen, Christian, we ought not take a back seat to anybody. The name Jesus is a name above all names, and at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They may not now, but they will one day. We ought to be proud of the name of Christ. No other name in history excites such passion, and for others has caused such hatred. It is estimated that more songs have been written about the name of Jesus than anything else in history. It is a name that God has elevated above all names. Is that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. The name of Jesus. I want to just take a few moments this morning and share with you four different things that we can learn about the name of Jesus Christ. The first being the purpose of His name. The purpose of His name. Do you know that the name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation? Jehovah is salvation. Jesus Christ came to this world, and the Bible says, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus came to offer salvation to all mankind. I appreciated Pastor McDonald's message to the children this morning. What a wonderful trade. He took our sins and He gave us salvation. He gave us Jesus Christ, the King of glory. Well, you'd be foolish not to make such a trade, but to simply trust in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of the Messiah, the Deliverer, was a proclamation to a sin-sick world that there was hope. Jesus had come to offer salvation. Do you know that before Jesus came, there had been deliverers before? We read in the Bible of Moses. For 400 years, God's people prayed for a deliverer, and God sent Moses. We read of the judges that came to deliver Israel from different captivities. We read of Samson and Deborah. We read of, right now, they're celebrating Hanukkah, and that was the celebration of the Maccabean revolt, Judas Maccabeus, who revolted against Antiochus Epiphanes, who had taken the Temple Mount. All of these men were great deliverers. And in the flesh, they delivered people from different dictators. But Jesus didn't come to deliver you from a dictator. He came to deliver you from your sins. It was a spiritual freedom. Think about this. Had Moses never delivered God's people from Israel, they could still know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They might be under the ruler of a dictator, and all across the world today, we see dictators and potentates in power in different nations around our world. And yet they can still know Jesus Christ. You cannot bind the heart that knows Jesus. Jesus came, and the purpose of His coming, the purpose of His name, was to remind us that God has provided salvation. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 this morning. Look with me in verse 8. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now listen to this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is that name that we call upon. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, shall be saved. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The purpose of his name is to reveal to us salvation. I want you to see the precedent of his name. Do you know that Jesus is not the first one to bear that name? In the Old Testament Hebrew, we have the name Joshua. Joshua is the Hebrew, Jesus is the Greek. They both mean Jehovah is salvation. I got thinking about that type of Christ in Joshua this week, and I got thinking about this. You know that Moses, the lawgiver, could not give them the promised land. It took God His salvation to do it. It took Joshua to come as a picture of Christ to take the people into the promised land, to fight the battles, to remove the sin and the obstacles that were in the way, and provide a way for them to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. You know that Jesus Christ has done the same thing for us. He's removed the obstacle that keeps us from heaven. That obstacle is sin. The Bible says, but He commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that He bore the sins of the world. Jesus Christ loved you even when you were a sinner. And He died upon the cross to pay the price for your sin. You know, not only did Joshua, the God of salvation, show us that we can be delivered, He showed us we can have victory. Isn't that the story of Joshua? Moses was the deliverer, the lawgiver. But Joshua was the victor. He's the one that fought the battles. He's the one that saw Jericho's walls fall. He's the one that fought the Amalekites. He's the one that saw the king of Ai bow down at his feet. It was Joshua, God is salvation, that gave us the victory. Turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When we consider that Jesus shall save His people from their sins, we must understand this also. That is more than just salvation. God wants you to have a clean life. He wants you to be delivered from the power of sin. You know, I understand that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I understand that I have a sin nature. And I understand that on a daily basis I have to fight and battle to keep my heart right with God. I understand that we all sin. And I'm so thankful that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But friends, that doesn't give us an excuse to sin. Romans chapter 6, where Paul writes to the Romans, he says, "Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." We need to see victory in the power of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new creature in Christ. All things have become new. So many times folks will get saved and they'll go back to living the way they were and they say, "Well, I'm forgiven." That is not honoring to Christ. We need to fight against sin and battle against sin and war against sin. It's the flesh against the spirit, but the spirit can win if we'll feed it with the Word of God. We can have victory in Christ Jesus. We sing that old hymn, don't we? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. But do we believe it? Do we believe we can have victory over sin? Friends, Christianity has become a carnal lifestyle. The Bible still says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing." The Bible still says that we are bought with a price. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we are getting involved in things as Christian people that ought not be named among us. You're a fool if you are willingly partaking of sin. Trust the Lord and have victory over sin through His name. I want you to see thirdly, it goes right with this, the power of His name. The power of His name. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Christ died that you can be free from sin. Why do we return to the unfruitful works of darkness? We must trust in Jesus. But there's power in His name. There's hope. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." His name is the name above all names. That means it has power. It has power. You say, "Well, I'm struggling with sin." That sin is just a name. And Jesus is the name above all names. You can have victory, but you have to want it. You have to trust God by faith to give it to you. Ephesians chapter 1, turn back just a few pages. Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church." Listen, anything in this life that has a name, Christ is above it. He has more power than it. A few years ago, we found out that we had a battle in our church, didn't we, with cancer. Just seemed like everybody was coming to prayer meeting with some new name. Pray for this person, pray for that. We had so many in our church. When Casey came down, we found out that she had it. I said to her a couple things, some advice. I said, "Here's what I want you to do. Don't ever, ever say, 'I'm going to beat this thing.' I want you to always say, 'God's going to beat this thing.' You give God the glory for every victory, and He'll just keep giving you more victories. Because this is an opportunity to praise Him. This is an opportunity to show the power of His name. This is an opportunity for God to work in your life and to be an example to others. Don't you ever take credit for a victory. I mean, you need to have a good attitude. You need to have a good spirit. And you need to be praying. And I mean, I understand those things. But you give God the glory. And I believe she did. And God has delivered her. Several years ago, we had a lady in our church in Hamilton. Her name was Doris McLean. Doris was a funny little lady. She made me laugh. She was about 80 years old, and she was about this tall, and her hair was about that tall. She had the same hairdo since 1960. You know what I mean? That big poofy app. She loved it. She was a great lady. And she'd come to church, and I'd say, "How are you today?" "Beautiful." And we'd have a song in church, and she'd yell out, "Beautiful." Everything was just beautiful. I just like that attitude. I don't know about you, but she just had that attitude. Well, one day Doris went home to be with the Lord. It wasn't long after that I got a call from the grandkids, and her daughter-in-law came to church, and her two twin granddaughters, Tammy and Rosie, came to church. And I got a call from the mom, and she says, "Could you come over and talk to Rosie?" I said, "Sure." So we went over to the house and was talking with Rosie, and I said, "Rosie, what's going on?" And she says, "Well," she says, "I'm having a problem." She says, "I'm getting these visions in my room at night." She says, "It's like somebody's sitting on the end of my bed, and I'll wake up and they're sitting there." And she says, "It scares me." And I scream, and by the time my parents get in there, they're gone. She says, "This has been happening." She says, "I see people out the window," and she says, "This is happening a lot." Her dad wasn't saved, and he piped up and he says, "That's just your grandma." And he called her Dodo, Doris. "Dodo, that's just Dodo. Just talk to her. It's okay, just talk to her. She had just died a few weeks earlier." I said, "No, that's not Dodo, that's Satan." I said, "Don't you mess with that stuff." You see, they had a brother. And some of you will snicker when I say this, but this boy was into heavy metal rock music. He had dirty magazines, and he had all those things. I said, I was very honest with the parents. I said, "Your son has invited a lot of this nonsense into this house." I said, "Through this rock music and this..." And you can giggle all you want, teenager, but I'm telling you, that stuff will destroy your life. It'll destroy your life. And when we're talking about being the name of God, breaking the power of sin, that's the first thing you need to throw out. I'm telling you straight. Some of you young people are into pornography, and you're into drugs, and you're smoking pot. Real nice Christmas message, I know, but I'm telling you, this is on my heart. It breaks my heart to hear it and see it. And you say, "Well, you don't know." Hey, for some reason, I wish it didn't, but everything gets back to me, and I wish it didn't. I wish I didn't have to hear it. You need the power of Jesus Christ in your life. And parents, you need to quit sticking your head in the sand. And we need to stand up and say, "Young people, do something with your life for Jesus Christ." That's why I wanted these college students to come up. I was so thankful. Daniel says, "Hey, you can go to anywhere. You can go to second, and you can still live for Jesus." That's what we need. The power of God. I said to this young lady, I said, "You don't talk to that thing." I said, "What you do is you get down beside your bed and you pray. And you pray in the name of Jesus Christ." Because when the 70 came back to Jesus, they say, "Even the demons are subject to your name." Do you know what happened? That night she got in bed and she prayed. And she says, "I didn't wait for them to show up. Praise the Lord." She says, "I prayed at the side of my bed." She says, "Pastor, I haven't seen him in weeks. There's not been another problem." That's the power of the name of Christ. He has the power over demons. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." The Bible says salvation is through his name. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." To him, Acts 10:43, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Here's the good news, young people. I'm preaching about sin this morning, but let me tell you, Jesus loves you. And he can forgive you. And he will help you. And these people love you and they'll help you. But you got to do something about it. Don't live like the world, because the world will destroy you. Acts chapter 3. Peter was coming into the temple. He found a lame man. Now, lame man looked up at him and he was expecting to receive something. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There's power in the name of Jesus. I want you to see, fourthly this morning, the personal nature of his name. In Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's an interesting word that is used there. Normally, when God refers to Israel, he calls them God's people. But not in this case. He says his people. All those that would come to Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. It is a personal decision today. For each one of you, you can't say, well, I live in a country that says, God, keep our land in its national anthem. I grew up in a Christian home. That won't help you. I listened a little bit this morning to Dr. Rabbi Zacharias. And how many of you listened to Dr. Zacharias? And years ago, I used to have to pick up a boy in foster care every Sunday morning and take him to church. And my half-hour drive was listening to Rabbi Zacharias every Sunday morning. And I don't know a lot about him. I just heard some of his preaching. And boy, it stirred my heart. Do you know that Dr. Zacharias was raised in a Christian home in India? But he says, I remained an atheist until I was an adult. Growing up in a Christian home does not save you. It doesn't make you a Christian. That's like saying I was born in a barn, so I'm a cow. That doesn't make any sense. Being born into a Christian family or being born in a Christian nation, by the way, Canada is no longer considered that by the United Nations, probably by choice. You are personally responsible for your own spiritual condition. You must yourself come to Jesus Christ and trust Him before it's eternally too late. And let me tell you, there's power in His name. There's a purpose in His name. Jehovah is salvation. He came that you might have life. If you'll just come to Him and trust Him today. Would you stand with me this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes? Have you ever thought about this? If there were no sinners, there would be no need for a Savior. We're all sinners. We've all been touched by that sin nature. But God loves us very much and He can save us today. Maybe there's some folks here today that need to just turn from sin. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to call you out. I don't want to do that. Maybe you want to come to this old-fashioned altar and lay down those sins. Lay down those burdens. Let God cleanse your heart today. Maybe there's some parents who will come and pray for their young people. Oh, that God would do a work in our life through His name. The power of His name. The instruments can begin to play. If God has spoke to your heart, would you come? If you can't get out, pray right where you are. But let's do business with God this morning. Maybe there's somebody here today say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I were to die that I'd spend eternity in heaven. Scripture's pretty plain that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. That you must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Would you trust in Jesus Christ today? I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to call out your name. But would you slip up your hand this morning? Is there one? sing that chorus together. Brother Baker, go ahead and lead us. Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Lord Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Pray with us, folks. Pray with us that God would do a revival in this place. Merry Christmas. And let me mention a couple things for prayers. Pastor McDonald's coming. Rick Engel had serious back surgery this week. Mrs. Roberts, how's he doing? Have you? I try to call, but she's rarely home right now. He's doing okay? Okay. So it was kind of an emergency situation. Woke up in a lot of pain the other day, and they had to do a surgery on him. So continue to pray for him. Jessica Turnowski has had some complications, lost a lot of blood, I guess, during the birth. And so she's going to be in hospital for a little bit longer than normal. So pray for Jessica. But that also means that Jerry and Marie Claver are great-grandparents again. So congratulations to you. How many great-grandkids do you have? Five. Well, congratulations. That makes Christmas a lot of fun. All boys. You need one girl, don't you? No? Okay. Well, Merry Christmas. All right.
Amen. Amen. Just a few announcements and we'll be dismissed. I want to remind you again, we have the food drive this year, the Christmas food drive. And if you'd like to participate, there's still time. But today is the deadline. So if you can bring it in today or tonight, if you bring in a non-perishable food item, just put it in one of our color boxes that we have out there. And we'll see that it gets to a family in need at Christmas time. Also, we have Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve services this year. Because it just falls right on the Wednesday night. So we're going to have our services both at 7 o'clock. Okay, not our regular 7:30 for a Wednesday night service, but 7 o'clock for both Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And also, I just want to remind you that some of you had donated, or not necessarily donated, but you had, loaned us your poinsettias. And tonight we're going to have them all wrapped up. We'll put them out in the Blue Room. If you'd like to take them home, please do so. Anything that's not taken tonight, what we'll do is we'll be taking it over for the holiday season to some of our shut-ins. So if you want to donate it that way, I guess you could just do that. But I'm just encouraging you to get your poinsettias today so that you can take them home with you. One last thing, and that is our tithe envelopes for 2015. It's hard to believe the year is coming to an end very quickly. And so the tithe envelopes are out in the hallway on the table. For 2015, please take the number you used this past year. If you're new to giving and you want to give on a regular basis to God's work here at Bethel Baptist Church, there's a box all by itself, and it says unused numbers. Just take from that and put your name on it, and just for the very first giving that you give, and so that we'll assign that number to your name, and we'll know when it comes time at the end of next year who to give the tax receipts to. So we got some things going on for the Christmas season, and also now for the New Year's, which is coming upon us. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You again for the message that we heard. And Lord, I thank You again, as the pastor has said, that sin has many little names, but You are the name above all names. And Father, help us to continually go to You for strength and power in overcoming these problems, these sins that we have in our lives. Father, give those who need it victory over something, that an issue perhaps that's in their life that they're dealing with. And Lord, may they know that You have not forgotten them, that You have not abandoned them, that You will help them be overcomers through the power of Your Holy Spirit, which carries with us the power of Jesus Christ. Father, we also pray, Lord, for Jessica Turnowski, Lord, at this time, Lord, that You would help her. She has lost some blood and she's had some complications from delivering your child. Lord, we thank You and praise You for another life that has come into this world. And we pray for her well-being as well, Lord. And Father, we just thank You again for all these opportunities to serve You by serving others. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. Happy Hanukkah. No, we're not Jewish. Merry Christmas, if I don't see you between now and then. God bless you as you go.